The sixth Aliyah of Parshas Yisro contains literally Kol HaTorah Kula, or at least the foundations of Kol HaTorah Kula, the Aseres HaDibros, which is a topic of much discussion as to why these 10 are indeed singled out, and some, such as the Ramban, understand that even though there are 613 mitzvos, but the principles and the foundations of all of the mitzvos can be derived from these 10 foundations. The relationship between the Aseres HaDibros and the rest of the mitzvos is the topic of much discussion because there are halachic complications. The Gemara tells us that there was a problem with having the Aseres HaDibros recited in tefillah because it would create the impression that this is all that matters in the Torah and the rest of it isn't important. And this affects also the question of standing during the Aseres HaDibros, which many shuls do nowadays, even though the Rambam and others raised a question about this because of the same problem that the Gemara has, that it seems to give special status to these 10 statements over the rest of the Torah. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that perhaps our practice of standing can be explained by the fact that when we read the Aseres HaDibros, we use a different trup, the Tam HaElyon, as opposed to the standard Tam HaTachton. The effect of that is to change the nature of Kriyas HaTorah, because the Tam HaTachton divides the text up into psukim, while the Tam HaElyon divides it up into dibros, distinct from the psukim delineation. And that makes a difference as far as what's happening. When the Torah is divided up into psukim, Kriyas HaTorah is categorized as Torah study. However, when it's divided up in accordance with the Dibros, so then what's happening is we are essentially recreating the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai, and it is a fulfillment of that aspect. And in fact, the Rav noted that there are some congregations where when the Dibros are read in Parshas Yisro and in Parshas Veschanan, they're read with the Tam Tachton, and it's only on Shavuos that they are read with the Tam Elyon, and that perhaps is because this is the case. It is meant to evoke specifically Maimed Har Sinai, which is associated with Shavuos specifically. Therefore, as he explains, it is appropriate to stand up, especially for this presentation, because we are trying to evoke the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai, and therefore standing up is appropriate for that purpose. So given the content of this Aliyah, we won't be able to discuss everything, but just to make a few notes. So first of all, the Aliyah begins by telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the Rosh Ahar, to the top of the mountain, and that reflects a careful balance because Har Sinai itself was chosen because it is a low mountain and is meant to represent the value of modesty and that crucial attribute for Torah study. However, we see that within the mountain itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes up to the top. And the Oznayim L'Torah suggests that that reflects the idea the Gemara has in Masechet Sota, that even though a Talmid Chacham is obligated to be modest, nonetheless, he has to have a small degree of self-regard, of gaiva, so to speak, an eighth, the Gemara calls, in order to be able to accomplish, and therefore that's represented by going to the top of this mountain, which is itself a lower mountain, to represent modesty. The Paras Yosef HaChadosh quotes in the Sefer Onik Nefesh that that's why if we're looking for modesty, you could have thought that we would have given the Torah in a valley as opposed to a mountain at all. So indeed, we do look for a mountain, even if it's a modest mountain, but going to the top of the mountain within that modesty has its own message to it. So here we find the actual Aseres HaDibros, and just to make a few comments about some selected points. In Parachav Pasuk Beis here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu identifies himself, Asher Hotzei Sicha, as the one who took the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and the Ibn Ezra explains that this is more relevant than being the creator of the world, because this shows his continuing Hashgacha, his continuing guidance of the world, and that requires even more Amunah than believing God created the world. There are many who did believe that God created the world, but didn't believe that he continues to be involved. So this reflects a higher level of faith. Vitur adds also that this is more relatable to the Jews who experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim, able to relate to that more than to the creation of the world. The prohibition of having other gods in Pasuk Gimel is presented in a singular language, Liya Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai, and here Eish Tamid and others point out that all of the Dibros are in a singular language, even though the Psukim before them are in plural language, and that is because Achdus, unity, is so crucial for the receiving of the Torah and a key message to how it is given over. Pasuk Zayin contains the prohibition of swearing in God's name, L'shav, L'sisa, Hashem, Hashem, L'kecha, L'shav. There is a debate in poskim considering the question of what if you were in litigation with someone and you require that person to take a shvuah to prove their case, and you know that it will be a shvuah shav for them. Are you responsible for the fact that you are causing them to violate this prohibition? Some felt indeed that was a problem. The Radbaz understood that this is not your issue, that's a part of the process, and that the avera of the other person, should he choose to indeed take a shvuah shav in order to defend himself. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that this pasuk is associated with the prohibition of bracha levatala as well, of an unnecessary bracha. However, many of the Rishonim understood that that is actually an asmachta, and that that's not literally included in this pasuk. However, the Rambam sounds like he disagrees in his Tshuvas and also in his comments in Mishneh Torah, and seems to understand that a bracha levatala is also included in this Torah prohibition. And we're told Zachar Soma Shabbos Lekadsho. This is the source of many dinim, and included in them is the obligation of Kiddush. How much of Kiddush is actually mandated by this pasuk specifically? When we recite Kiddush nowadays, and we recite Kiddush on wine, and we recite it by Pri HaGafen, and we do so mentioning Zechiras Tesiyas Mitzrayim and B'makom Suda, so all of those details, some of them are Min HaTorah and some of them are probably not Min HaTorah. One Sefer, Yunim B'Halacha, he lists 15 different ways of understanding how much is included in this pasuk, but one way or another, it is an important imperative commanding us to properly appreciate the Shabbos. It seems as the mitzvah of Kiddush is specifically associated with the Malachos, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that whoever is obligated to observe Shabbos, Shmira Shabbos, is also obligated to perform the mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos, and that is derived from the association between the two presentations of Aseres HaDibros here and in Parshas Veschanan. And the Gemara tells us that Zachar and Shamar were actually said at once, and this creates a unique type of hekesh, transferring halachos from one to the other. So therefore, whoever is obligated in Shmira Shabbos not to do malacha is also obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush, meaning that women are obligated equally in this obligation. So the association between Kiddush and the malachos is one that requires some explanation. Rav Soloveitchik suggested, based on comments of the Rambam, that Shabbos requires not only abstaining from malacha, but that be a purposeful abstaining from malacha, ashfisa hanikaras, and therefore it's important that one, before taking on this avoiding malachos, announces that he's doing so for the reason of Kedusha Shabbos, and therefore Kiddush doesn't necessarily, in the Rambam's understanding, have to be recited on Shabbos itself, but close to the beginning of Shabbos in order to make that announcement clear. In practice, whether it's Dereis or Derabbanan, the different components, as we noted, are subject to debate, but we do make Kiddush over wine, and we incorporate into that a Barer Pri HaGafen. And there are many indications that the Barer Pri HaGafen is not simply a bracha to allow us to drink the wine, but has become integrated into Kiddush itself, and has the halachos of Kiddush itself. And Rav Soloveitchik suggested that this may have to do with the fact that there is a thematic link between a bracha on food, Berachas HaNeinim, and the whole idea of Shabbos, that Shabbos reflects the fact that we are able to enjoy the world and work in the world and accomplish things for 6 days a week because we take off a day of every week to acknowledge God's creation of the world. And that is very linked to the idea of a bracha, that we are able to benefit from this world, as the Gemara says, because we first acknowledge that God created the world. So therefore, perhaps the two become connected together, and when we acknowledge Shabbos, which is about recognizing God's creation of the world, we also make a bracha on food, which is as well about noting God's creation of the world and how that allows us to partake of it. And indeed, that is what indicated by Pasuk Tes, which contrasts Shabbos with the rest of the week. And we're told, Sheishas Yomim Ta'avod, V'asisa Kol Melachtecha, so we do work the rest of the week. But that is also meant to be contrasted here with Shabbos, as Rashi writes, that on Shabbos we should feel as if all of the work is indeed done and finished, and it's not on our minds on Shabbos at all. And as Rebecca of Kamenetsky notes, that is why we don't ask for Rachamim on Shabbos, because we don't want to have that mentality at all of thinking that there is what to do that still needs to be taken care of. Rishonim explain that there is a pattern that the two luchos are divided up. The first five dibros represent mitzvos ben adam l'makom, obligations to God, and the second five represent obligations ben adam l'chaveru towards people. And if that's the case, as many of the commentaries note, it's noteworthy that the mitzvah of kibbutz ava'im, which would seem to be a mitzvah involving people, nonetheless is in the first set, is the fifth of the dibros. And many explain that it is essentially a bridge between the two because it has aspects of both. It is a mitzvah towards human beings, but it also reflects our obligation to God, and that we are looking to show our respect and our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but because we're not able to do so directly, therefore we acknowledge his human partners. The Gemara says there are three partners in the creation of a person, God and the two parents. So the honor that we show to our parents is, in essence, a mitzvah ben adam l'makom in that sense, and that it is an acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many others understand that the purpose of Kibbutz Ava'im is to reflect the crucial principle of Hakar Satov. And here as well, this is a dual component. This is something that we do to human beings who we are grateful to, but it's also a recognition and an awareness. And therefore, it's also key to our ability to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the commentaries point out, if we're not able to be grateful to the human beings who have done the most for us, so then we are completely devoid of this attribute and will not be able to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself either. Towards the end of the Dibros, we have the prohibitions of Lo Sachmod, of coveting, and it's a major discussion what exactly is involved here. Is this a prohibition that reflects an attitude or an action? Normally we assume that mitzvos involve actions specifically, and perhaps it's a combination of both. The prohibition of Lo Sachmod Eishes Re'echa, the Ibn Ezra explains that that goes to a mentality specifically, that just as one who is in a different social category in the time of royalty and recognizes that he doesn't have the possibility of marrying a princess, it's not something he would even consider, would even come to his mind. So too, that's the attitude one is supposed to have towards Eishes Re'echa, to a married woman. So that reflects the fact that we have here a combination of actions and mentalities, and that is perhaps true of all of these Dibros, if indeed the idea is that they have provide the foundations for all of the 613 mitzvos. So indeed, that is the case. They do so in some instances as far as regulating actions, but also as far as teaching us principles and mentalities that are relevant to understanding the totality of the Torah.